pray for our Roger Frith, who's not too well this morning. So we do pray for him. And Joan, do send our love to Roger. So this is an interesting passage of scripture, Luke chapter 2. And it strikes me in reading through that it is a story obviously loaded with so many different elements. And yet what we see through here is a story of obedience and reward. And I want to just pick up on a couple of those bits very briefly this morning. Obedience and reward. So I'm going to go back to verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. So the first thing that we notice here is this reference that Luke makes in saying that Mary and Joseph acted according to the law of the Lord. So we see immediately in the context or the introduction to this story of Jesus being presented in the temple that they acted according to the law of the Lord. And then when you look at the end of this passage in verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child, that's Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. So it's interesting that Luke bookends this story by telling us that Mary and Joseph acted according to the law of the Lord. They obeyed, they did all that God required of them. And then we come to the reward, and we have another two characters. So we have four characters in this story. We have two women and two men. We have two women, we have Mary and Anna, and then we have two men, Joseph and Simeon. So we come to Simeon, a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. Verse 25, he was waiting. What do we know about Simeon? Well, we know that he was waiting. God revealed to him that his faithfulness and his watchfulness would be rewarded. He was righteous, he was devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him and revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I don't know how he knew who the child was. I mean, here are these parents, and they come in with a baby, and we look at little baby Ada, and as beautiful as she is, if you didn't know before this morning who she was, would you be able to? I mean, you would know because she's the only baby here, but we wouldn't necessarily know that. So we read, don't we, that that Simeon, when the parents brought in the child, he took the child in his arms and praised God. So maybe the Spirit moved him. Maybe something happened that said, Simeon, this here, this is the child. This is the one. And then we come to Anna. There was also a prophet, verse 36, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then she was a widow until she was 84. I don't know how old she was when she got married, but she only enjoyed 7 years of marriage. And there's no indication that she married again. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. This tells us, these few little words, a huge amount about Anna and her dedication as well. This is a woman who, rather than going out and saying, I'm a widow, at presumably a fairly young age, and he's got to find another husband, this is a woman who then dedicated herself. This theme of dedication. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. So, like Simeon, Anna has been immortalized in the words of Scripture. Her short life has been captured for all time as an example to us, a prophetess who devoted herself to the temple, to worship, to fasting, and to praying. So like Simeon, she was also faithful and she was watchful, and God allowed her to share in the joy of fulfillment. Now, we often think about John the Baptist when Jesus said, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because all the other prophets had lived and died. They had spoken of the one to come, but they had not had the joy of seeing Messiah come. Well, John the Baptist did. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he was able to actually see the Messiah come. But so was Anna, the prophet. She was also a prophet, and she also saw the fulfillment of that promise. So this morning's theme is great expectations as we rapidly come towards Christmas. And so we see these four characters, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna, and they represent those who joyfully and patiently serve the Lord and wait upon him. So just picking up on this title, Great Expectations, Simeon and Anna had great expectations. Certainly for Simeon, he was told, you will not see death until you have seen the Messiah. But look at Mary and Joseph in verse 33. So Simeon says his prayer, Sovereign Lord, you've promised, now dismiss me, your servant, in peace. I've seen your salvation, light for revelation, glory for your people Israel. Verse 33, Mary and Joseph, the child's father and mother, marveled at what was said about him, about Jesus, their son, this little baby. He's the one who's been promised. He's the one who's going to bring salvation. He's the one you've prepared in the sight of all people. He's a light of revelation for the Gentiles. He is the glory to the people of Israel, this little baby. Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about Jesus, their child. The point being, they did not have great expectations. They weren't expecting this prayer, immense prayer of dedication. They didn't quite know what to expect at this point, but they were faithful and obedient nonetheless. This time of Advent is the time when we are remembering the promise of God fulfilled in the blessed incarnation. And this time should remind us to be faithful in waiting upon the Lord, in trusting in his promises. And I hope this word will speak to those of you who are hopeful, and yet maybe some of that hope is fading. A really good example of this is when you've been praying faithfully for your family members, your friends, your colleagues. We were out yesterday evening for a meal in Oxford with some friends of ours. We've been friends with them for about 15 years or so now. Paul and I used to work together, and in two places, in fact. A really lovely couple, but they don't yet know the Lord. Been praying for them. Sense of hope. Maybe expectation that they will come through, I'm sure. In fact, I doubt there's anybody in this room, a believer, who has not got someone on their heart that they would just long to see come to faith. I can't promise you that the people that you're praying for will come to faith. But I do know that God asks us to be faithful in waiting upon him and trusting in his promises. I want to leave you with a final verse from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Simeon, Anna, were hoping for and were assured of what they had not yet seen. They did have the blessing, the immense privilege of seeing the child here in the temple. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And the writer to the Hebrews then says, this is what the ancients were commended for. Who were the ancients? Well, the ancients were all of those that we read off in the Old Testament. All of those people who did not see Messiah. Jesus said of Abraham, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. How did Abraham, who died hundreds of years before Christ came into the world, how did Abraham possibly see the Lord Jesus and rejoice? Because Abraham was confident in what he hoped for and was assured about what he did not see. And what do we read of Abraham? He had faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Friends, let us have confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. And what Christmas tells us is that God can be trusted in his promises. Because the incarnation of Christ 2,000 years ago tells us that God always keeps his promises. Let us here today, 21st century Britain, have the faith of the ancients. Let's pray.